the rest of the story. You're familiar with the Broadway musical, The King and I? So you've already had a glimpse of the glory of Thailand before it was Thailand, when it was the royal nation of Siam. The predecessors of Anna's king, the ancient rulers of that country, were exceptionally wise men. They encountered the same administrative difficulties as other rulers, and yet many of their solutions were unique. Siamese rulers had a philosophy remarkably similar to and yet predating that of Mario Puzo's godfather. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Say a certain courtier had posed a threat. Rarely would the king show his displeasure. Quite the opposite, he would treat that courtier as a friend. And then the king made the offer that nobody dared refuse. The rulers of virtually all nations throughout history have had one dilemma in common: how to get rid of the problem people. More than a few monarchs took the direct approach, execution. A courtier becomes too powerful, too big for his boots, off with his head. Another solution was imprisonment, the charge inconsequential. Or exile, same thing, anything to get that fellow out of the way. Now here's a favorite political maneuver, especially during modern times. An important government official becomes a nuisance. Assign him to foreign service in some remote corner of the earth. Everyone, including the offending official, knows what you're up to, and yet somehow the situation is less sticky this way. The kings of ancient Siam were aware of these options, and they were also aware of the inherent drawbacks. Execution of a particularly offensive nobleman, or for that matter, even a surreptitious assassination, might inspire only sympathy for the dead. Imprisonment? Banishment? Nope. Sometimes those fellows come back to haunt you. For a similar reason, a foreign assignment is inadvisable. Why be represented elsewhere by an enemy? Well, I'll tell you what the Siamese kings did. If a courtier became too powerful, began posing a threat in some way, he, the courtier, would receive a present, a gift, a special, incidentally sacred gift from the king. It was perhaps the most precious thing that a man could own, its ownership, a treasured title in itself. The reverential regard of its image could be traced into the darkest recesses of Eastern legend. For example, the Chinese considered it a symbol of their mythical hero, Fo Hai. So, the king would present the bothersome courtier with this gift. And as you might imagine, there was a method in the monarch's madness, because the gift required constant attention. The upkeep was enormously expensive. To hang on to one of these things for any amount of time was enough to bankrupt even the wealthiest of noblemen, and bankruptcy was about the only excuse one could give for returning the gift. After all, it was sacred, and it had come from the king. This, then, was the offer that none dared refuse, nor could afford to accept. The recipient would soon go broke and drop from sight, killed with kindness. A certain phrase survives those days, a phrase that you have used, two words describing any useless and burdensome gift, anything for that matter, that costs more to keep than it is worth. You've used those two words, but have you ever considered the source? Not unless you've considered the care and the feeding of a white elephant. And now you know the rest of the story.